Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 50 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling Voices from the 2017 Tri-State Grain Growers Convention, those tri-states being Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. As we reach the auspicious milestone of 50 Wheat All About It episodes, an update. The podcast listener trend line is headed in the right direction. For trailblazers listening now, thank you! But more ears are needed. Two to a head in most cases. I don't know about you, but I've told a handful of people about the podcast more than once without getting them to listen. I've found technology is a lot like hugs when it comes to farmers. They don't throw their arms around a new acquaintance, and they don't embrace newfangled gizmos at first blush either. But the person or technology that proves itself, well, then I've found you need to be careful of cracked ribs. Which is why, during the Tri-State Grain Growers Convention, instead of just telling folks about the podcast, I asked the individuals I spoke with to let me show them how to download episodes on their smartphones. For many folks, this was the first time they'd heard about the podcast, let alone downloaded an episode. Each time I asked to see a person's phone, I thought they would object, but everyone was happy to have a guide to the new technology. Check it out yourself. Show someone the way to Wheat All About It. And for farmers who send out Christmas letters, think about mentioning Wheat All About It to folks who appreciate wheat farming and to those who may not appreciate it enough. It's a gift that keeps on giving. One last thing before I get into this week's episode, I want to tell you about my favorite memory from the 2017 Tri-State Grain Growers Convention held at the Grand Hotel in downtown Spokane, November 8th to 11th. I came into lunch late on Thursday with most of the seats in the hall already occupied. There were a few options left, and for no particular reason, I grabbed a seat at a table next to a young woman around the age of one of my daughters. Danica Dixon works for Farmers Business Network, a company that has built a data network of farms that shares information by crowdsourcing crop results, planting patterns, and prices paid among their network of farms. Sounds interesting. But that has nothing to do with why Dixon made my day. You see, for my purposes, what made her special is that she is a fan of Wheat All About It. She's listened to every episode, loves the podcast. In fact, Dixon used the word addicted to describe her devotion. She was giddy to meet me, but let me tell you, I was pretty giddy to meet her too. Now, on to episode 50. As someone who has been involved with the wheat industry for more than three decades, first as a reporter and more recently working for the Washington Grain Commission, there's a small group of people I've interviewed many times. I thought it would be fun to turn that habit on its head at the convention and make an effort to interview people I had never spoken with before. I mostly succeeded, interviewing 20 people over 3 days, farmers and landlords alike, from all three states. You won't hear from everyone here, but suffice to say, there's a theme that I believe is woven through people's comments. See if you can catch it. Convention attendance from Washington was up, but even then I doubt a third of the farmers involved with the industry showed up, which is too bad because convention is a wonderful opportunity to step back from the minutiae of daily life on the farm and see the wheat industry from another perspective. As I said, I mostly succeeded in interviewing people I'd never interviewed before, but when I saw Chris Laney reading his program in the hallway, I couldn't resist talking to him. Besides, it's been more than 20 years since I've interviewed him last, and it felt like some statute of limitations had expired. Laney, who lives and farms near Sprague, was president of the Washington Association of Wheat Growers in 1990, which was just about the time I was getting serious about reporting on the wheat industry. An articulate guy, I was able to run through my list of questions pretty quickly with Laney, which gives those of you listening context for the entire interview, which has been edited elsewhere. Laney tries to come to convention every year, I began by asking why he felt that it was necessary to be a regular convention goer.
Well, every year the legislature changes. There's new programs out there that are evolving, and I want to keep a finger on them to monitor them, give my input, be a participant.
How important is the social aspect to you?
It's a relevant factor because it's who you know, and that's how alliances are built, personally and professionally, and that's how legislation works.
What's your favorite part of convention?
The camaraderie, I think, is the most emotional part of it. But I also like to throw a monkey wrench in the legislative process and make sure that both the entire spectrum of an issue is debated and nothing is rammed through on a train, you know, type thing.
Do you pick up information that is helpful to you on the farm?
Indirectly, at least, and sometimes directly. For instance, the speaker I just heard was speaking about the new farm bill and the new tax proposals and so forth. And to be forewarned is to be prepared.
No kidding. So have you actually made friends at convention, people you didn't know before?
Certainly since the tri-state. You know, Idaho and Oregon people I've been exposed to, sat with at dinner tables and at auctions and things like that. They've outbidden me, hopefully, most of the time. But, yeah, you bet I do.
Why do you think more farmers and their wives don't come to convention?
Two reasons. There's an evolution of a development where grandpa started the organization or joined the co-op or something because he was being screwed by the railroad or whatever. I don't want to specify railroad, but grandpa started the organization, dad maintained it, and grandson forgot or wasn't informed why the necessity of it was in the first place. And that is one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is with the continuing consolidation in agriculture, there are less and less bodies out there and more hats you have to wear, and you got to cut it somewhere.
Laney's right. You have to cut it somewhere. But I want you to notice, he is not cutting coming to convention. Two men who were on the other end of their farming careers from Laney have also found value in attending convention. Garrett Warren, who farms near Dayton, had met up at convention with his friend, Carl Sieberkrop, who farms near Creston. Both were 28 years old and had gone to Washington State University together. I asked Warren what he got out of coming to convention.
I like coming to networking with other producers and seeing their take on things, how the year's been. There's a lot of good information about markets, looking forward to this next crop year, seeing where we think the markets are going to go and trends. There's a lot of good seminars they have here. I'm particularly looking forward to one on data management.
Interesting. Data management. That's agriculture for you today, isn't it? So how important is the social aspect?
The social aspect's important. It's just good to talk to other producers from different areas of the state and, you know, see how you compare, see what they're facing for challenges in their area.
Do you pick up information that's actually helpful to your operation on the farm?
Oh, yes, definitely. Like I said, about talking about markets, marketing plans, be interested to see what they have to say in this data management seminar, because recently getting pretty involved with data management and yield data and variable rate prescriptions to see how that will play into the future.
Why do you think more farmers don't come, and certainly more farmers your age?
My age, I think, you know, they maybe don't have the support behind their families to let them go to some of these things. Cost is probably another one, I would say.
Several other people besides Warren mentioned cost, so I checked. The price of Thursday and Friday at the Grand Hotel, which was when the majority of the convention occurred, including all meals, parking, and registration, was less than $600. It's not inexpensive, especially in a year when wheat prices are flirting with the cost of production. But I believe the value received is well in excess of the cost. Carl Zieberkrop is an alumni of the 15 by 40 program, an initiative of the Washington Association of Wheat Growers designed to encourage younger growers to attend convention. WAG pays the convention registration fee each year for 15 growers under the age of 40 who have never attended convention before. The program worked as intended for Zieberkrop. He now considers himself a regular convention goer. He said the Tri-State Grain Growers Convention is a place to hear news about things that aren't covered elsewhere.
Mostly to hear about the new stuff coming down the line for ag that we don't necessarily find out through our other representatives or our the other conventions I go to. It's just this is more of a political side, and I don't get to hear that from the other things I go to.
Wonderful. And how important is the social aspect to you?
It's really important. Knowing people and knowing what's going on around ag is it's huge.
Well, it's also good to know you're not alone.
Yes, yes. And just knowing what other guys are doing in their production operation and markets, and it's just a well-rounded program they have here.
So you're getting educated, but, you know, what is your favorite part of convention?
I really just like the social aspect, getting to talk to guys I don't get to see anywhere else through the year. And instead of having to call them or text them, I can just talk to them face-to-face and have a more thorough conversation with them.
David Brewer from the Dalles in Oregon is another farmer who believes the true value that comes out of convention is as a gathering place for people who are trying new things.
I always learn more from visiting with fellow farmers than I generally do in presentations. So it's that social time to kind of catch up and find people of a like mind that you may not find in your own neighborhood that are trying to tackle the same products challenges that you're trying to tackle. You know, so it's just outside ideas is always good.
So what's your favorite part of the convention? I mean, there you were in the Dalles last week and you were thinking, convention's next week. I'm really looking forward to...
Just the opportunity to pick other people's brains that I know are trying some of the crops that I'm trying, you know, trying to do some of the things that I'm doing, how just pick their brain, find out how they've addressed those challenges.
Now, do you actually pick up any information that is helpful to you on the farm?
Sure, yeah.
Such as?
Well, last night we were talking about harvesting sunflowers, so we were talking today just about plot work, cover crops, and trying to address the whole challenge of no-till fallow, you know, and how what that's going to look like in the future. So,
why do you think more farmers don't attend convention?
Oh, it's just awful easy to get buried in your work at home and just not realize what resources out there, you know, what education opportunity there is and how much you can gain by interacting with farmers from other areas. So,
And what might you tell your colleagues about convention to encourage them to come?
Well, just that it's a great opportunity to do just that, just interact with other farmers that might have a different perspective on problems that are similar to your own, and there's good education opportunity there.
I don't know about you, but what Brewer is saying sounds a lot like encouraging genetic variability in wheat cultivars. Breeders don't want to cross parents that are similar to each other. They want the diversity that comes out of crosses from different backgrounds. Sounds like it works for people, too. I interviewed Randy Colm from Lind a fair bit when I was a reporter, but I never interviewed his wife, Debbie. I ran into her in the exhibition hall at convention. She indicated that becoming a regular convention goer was something of a new chapter in her and her husband's life. The kids are growing, and it's time to get involved. When I asked what her favorite part of convention was, she said she hadn't been to enough to say for sure, but...
I think the seminars are pretty important. You can pick and choose what you want to learn more about.
And so what did you pick to choose to learn more about?
Well, this morning we did the grain market, so that's always crucial, but it looks like it's going to be pretty flat for another couple years.
Yes, unfortunately. So do you pick up information that's helpful to you on the farm?
There's always something new to be learned, whether it's little, big, or in between, so yeah.
How important is the social aspect to you?
Oh, it's fun. You know, we live on a farm, so we're isolated, so it's fun to get to town and visit with more out of our peer groups, I guess.
Why do you think more farmers don't come to convention?
Oh, I don't know. I guess taking time out of their busy schedule to do it, you know. It's hard to get out of your old, the same old routine and do something new. So I think it's something new and it's hard to make changes.
Combe had a great suggestion for increasing attendance at convention. Create a 15x40 program for the other end of the age spectrum. An 8x80, perhaps. It makes sense. The average age of wheat farmers in eastern Washington during the 2012 Census of Agriculture was 58. And like the younger set, a lot of those older folks haven't attended convention either. I didn't realize when I went up to speak with Kathy Tuckness that she is married to the president of the Oregon Wheat Growers League, Dana Tuckness. I asked her what she might say to someone to encourage them to attend the convention. I like it when good points are unexpected ones.
It's a great time. It's a great time to connect with other farmers and even to connect with your wife.
I interviewed a number of landlords at the convention. Anecdotally, I would say their numbers are increasing, and hooray for that. It's estimated that farmers in America only own half the land they farm. The other half is owned by landlords. I know some Eastern Washington farmers who work with more than a dozen landlords, a consequence of the land they farm being handed down through generations of relatives. I have great respect for landlords who show up at the convention because it only makes sense to pay attention to your investment. Carol Ann Quigg has land north of Davenport, but she grew up on a farm between Wilbur and Grand Coulee Dam. She's been coming to conventions for years and was once active in WAG. When I asked what she liked best about the convention, she said it depends. Sometimes it's the social aspect, sometimes it's the speakers. Her answer to the question of how to encourage more landlords to attend convention reminded me of the adage that begins, "You can lead a horse to water."
Well, landlords that do not take an interest in what their land is, how it's being operated, and the politics of it, and the management of it, are probably missing the boat.
Bridget Blum, who lives in Craigmont, Idaho, and her sister, Gail Silva, who lives in Milton Freewater, are both landlords. This is their fifth time coming to convention together. I asked Blum why it's important landlords attend.
To learn more about what's going on out there for the farmers, being a landowner, it's very important that we are as informed as we can be to go back and discuss issues with them.
And how important is the social aspect to you?
I believe it's what we used to call networking, and it's very important to see what other people are doing. Basically, the people here we're speaking with are farmers and more landowners, but again, it's a good share-and-share information.
Richard Klein is another landlord. He lives in Ocean Park, Washington, on the coast, and had no prior farming experience when he inherited his farm ground between Clyde and Lower Monumental Dam. Since then, he's become a regular convention goer, making up for lost time.
I've attended for the last 6 years probably nearly every convention, and I do go to the Wheat College. And the reason for that is that I'm a landlord now, and I live on the coast, so I really did not grow up on the farm and don't have the real hands-on farming experience. So I've been doing a lot of catch-up over the years, and it's really paid off for me education-wise, as I know more about soils now than I ever did before, and how to look at the land as a valuable long-term resource.
What would you say to those landlords who aren't here, Robert?
Well, I think they're missing a good opportunity to stay involved in the industry, and it's a good way to see what's going on, what's coming up in the future, and to discuss any problems that you have as a landlord, such as family succession and things like that, with your colleagues here. And we have a little landlords section that we chat with and see each other and compare notes. So I think it's very valuable for landlords to attend these and to become a member of WAWG.
So what's your favorite part of convention?
I think it's the knowledge and getting to meet the farmers that are actually doing stuff, and the stimulating conversations we have at the meal tables, and then the social events where we can chat around and find out what's going on. So I've met some really interesting farmers and really enjoy meeting and greeting with the people, and of course the educational part. And finally, I don't want to leave the sponsors out, because their exhibits are real important to us. And talking to them, we get a lot of information and all the latest products that are available for enhancing farming.
I couldn't have put it better, especially the last part about sponsors' exhibits. Companies and organizations not only help to support the convention effort by paying for their booths, they bring additional value to the occasion by providing farmers and landlords yet another look at the farming equation. You only heard 9 voices here, but the other 11 individuals I interviewed sounded familiar themes. The message I came away with from all my interviews is that convention gives farmers and landlords the opportunity to learn and laugh with a lot of other wheat-minded people. In other words, it's about community. Next year's convention is in November in Portland. Remember what Kathy Tuckness said: convention is a great time to connect with other farmers and even to connect with your spouse. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. What about a second honeymoon in the City of Roses? That's all the time we have. I hope you've enjoyed episode 50 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling Voices from the 2017 Tri-State Grain Growers Convention. Don't forget to help your friends, colleagues, and family members access the podcast this season of giving. I have been assured that each time a new listener downloads an episode, an angel gets his wings. Spread the word and join me again next time for another episode of Wheat All About It!
Out in the country where a woman's called a gal, she's more than a lover, she's a farmer's best pal. We marry them for life, we marry with a vow, and even in the night we know how to plow. Our children have 2 parents, our children have a home, they don't grow up with no edible syndrome. We're the backbone of this country, the spirit of its soul. Best you ask for whom the bell tolls. We feed you. We feed you.